throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Kauf with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to The Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We've got all kinds of topics. Maybe our favorite topic at the end of the show. What's on Jared's mind?
We just did that.
Yeah, no, it's time to do it again. Here's the deal. I was busy this morning trying to put together a package of Vince Scully clips.
Oh, yeah.
And so I didn't leave enough time really for a great rundown. So if you'll notice, any time that I get in a little bit of a spot of bother, it turns into what's on Jared's mind. Have you do some contributing to the rundown.
Okay.
So that's what happened today. So we'll hear that.
I see how it ranks.
Dolphins in hot water. Man alive. The Dolphins were hammered down by the league yesterday. The six-month-long investigation into tampering and tanking charges by Brian Flores. Good news is for the Dolphins, that wasn't the case. But the tampering, they've lost some draft picks, some money. I wonder how often this happens and it just doesn't get reported, and we'll talk about that. Also, ESPN put out a list of the greatest defensive players of all time, like 50-person panel voted, and they kind of tallied up the results. We'll take a look at that. And then I mentioned the great Vince Scully died at the age of 94 yesterday. And we'll talk about his career, his legacy as one of, if not the greatest, play-by-play voices of all time. And I've got a short little package of different clips from Vince Scully's career that will play as well. So that's kind of what we've got on our minds. Feel free to chime in with something else or whatever else is on yours at 225-9698. It's 225-9698. That's the text or the phone number. Give us a call or shoot us a text. If you're going to be outside the listening area, there are a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. One of those is to log on to kadsam.com. The other is to download the Paragon Communications app. The app's got it all. It's got three radio stations here in Elk City. It's got the Penny News, which a brand new edition of the Penny News is out on the website right now. Visit thepennynews.com. Check out all the deals in this week's Penny News. The print edition will be following shortly. I saw the trailer rolling out of here at about 7:55. Makes me wonder who's going to get the Penny News today. As leaving that early? Is it Randy? Is it Blake? Didn't see Randy's vehicle, so I'm going to say it's Blake.
It's the captain. I saw him.
You
too.
Saw him.
I saw him. Gave him a nice little wave.
All right, fantastic. So Blake is on the road to go get the Penny News. That'll start filtering out this afternoon all across the some places in the area. By tomorrow morning, it's everywhere. So pick up a free copy of that Penny News. Also, Big Elk TV, Paragon TV. Man, Jared, I was telling Wyatt on the way over here, we are 3 weeks from Friday from the first Big Elk football game. Is that not crazy? Crazy.
It is
to think
upon
about.
Us, yes.
We'll really get talking about the high school football season coming up starting next week or so. Hopefully, I think we may make it to the city this weekend, and that means one thing.
What's that?
Actually, it means two things. Find two magazines.
You know what? I'm going to the city, too.
Are you really?
So we need to make sure we don't go to the same place. Maybe we can spread out, look around.
Yeah. So Phil, Steel, and Vibe, Pigskin Preview. And then get to doing some research on the different districts that we'll be covering. Big Elk TV, obviously the Elk City Elks, Paragon TV. We'll have Merritt and Hollis this year. So you've got Class B District 1 with the Hollis Tigers, Class A District 1 with the Merritt Oilers. So we'll do some research, dive deep into that. I know it's one of Wyatt's favorite things since he's sitting in here with us trying to be quiet over there in the corner. One of his favorite things is to thumb through it and just start just firing off random towns and seeing if I know who what their mascot is. there's some pretty interesting ones when you start getting over into southern and southeastern Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But
no. Yeah, those are a little. Those are. I'm not too familiar with those, but a lot around here because we see a lot of them.
Yeah, and the truth is, if you don't know and you fire off, say, eagles or bulldogs, a lot of times you have a pretty decent chance of getting it right.
Yeah, that's true. There's a lot of that.
We've also got the Skinny on Sports podcast. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and listen on KADSAM.com or find us on iTunes. If you go the iTunes route, subscribe, and then you were alerted each and every day when a new podcast drops. Oh, look here. On the text line, 225-9698, a list of victims for the dunk tank Friday night at the Parents versus Players grudge match number 2 softball fundraiser, high school and junior high. Parents versus Players going to play a game 6:30 Friday night here at the Fiveplex, TJ's Tacos Truck. So there's going to be taco truck out there for your enjoyment with the food. And we learned yesterday a dunk tank will be present. And here are the victims: Coach Murray, Coach Ham, Coach Dennard, Coach Sanders, and then in maybe the shocker of all shockers that they were able to get this guy up on the dunk tank, the one and only Coach Danny McClure.
Mm.
So Coach Mack will be on the dunk tank.
Out of all those coaches, who do you think could talk the most trash while they're sitting up there on the dunk tank?
Oh, man, what a great question. I think Ham thinks he can.
Yeah. We've been on some road trips. I've heard him attempt to talk some trash.
Coach Murray's pretty nice.
He is a nice guy, yeah.
I think probably if you would let Danny say what he wanted to say, if that makes sense.
Yes.
If you let Coach Danny McClure actually say what he wanted to say, he would be the most entertaining. But I'm afraid in this setting, he would have to pull back a little bit. And so I think the more interesting question is, which one of these coaches would the girls rather dunk? Wonder what the answer to that is.
Oh, that's a good question. That's a good question. Here's another question. When you do it, do you have to underhand it like a softball pitch?
Ah.
Or do you have to, or can it be overhand? You see what I'm saying? Because it is a softball benefit thing.
Well, I mean, they throw overhanded once the ball's hit.
Sure, sure. But, man, when you see some velocity from that underhand, get it one of the pitchers up there.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of fun to see, too.
Yeah, that's fun. That's really good stuff.
This is a great idea. This is going to be fun.
Really good stuff. That's 6:30 Friday night at the Fiveplex softball field there, the high school and junior high fundraiser, Parents versus Players, grudge match number 2. Depending on who you ask, it's hard to tell who won grudge match number 1. I feel like both sides both believe they won. Last year, so this is kind of this will be a decider. Maybe whoever wins this one, if there's a declared for sure winner, can be 2-0, and the other side will have to be 0-2. So they're playing this year for last year's win as well.
How could there be controversy? It's as easy as keeping score, right? Is no one keeping score? Someone forget to turn the lights on the scoreboard? What? Someone forget to add a score, add a run?
There's all kinds
Maybe
of ways.
Maybe they didn't forget to add their run.
There's all kinds of ways to generate controversy, Jared. You just, but I know there was some.
Or are they playing it? It's not really, okay, we're not keeping score. We're just playing 3-out, switch side, 3-out, switch side. We're not keeping score. But somebody on the side is going, I'm going to keep score. And there's I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean?
I never really got the full story on why the winning team was up for debate. It seems like, if I remember, I mean, I don't want to take sides here, but it does seem like, if I remember right, the players, the girls, were more accusatory. Like, they were pretty sure they won, but the parents were, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's been a whole year. So that's what I propose. Whoever wins this year gets to claim last year's win as well, since it's still up for debate. Last night, sad news out of Major League Baseball. If you can't beat them, you better cheat them. That's coming from one of the parents. So I think maybe our theory holds a little bit more water now. But Vin Scully passes away at the age of 94. He was the voice of the Dodgers for 67 years.
Wow.
67 years. I mean, think of that. That longevity. And, you know, we hear right here on these airwaves, you know, Al's been doing his job for 45, and it seems like it's impossible to do that. And he's got to be there. He's got to be around another 22 to get to where Vin Scully was with the Dodgers. He was one of those guys. I mean, he had the innate ability, and not very many people have this. There, you know, there's a whole bunch of people that can do play-by-play very well. There just are. There's a bunch of people that can do that part of the job very, very well. There's very, very, very few that can mix that technical part of it with the ability to be a storyteller. And that is where Vin Scully takes the cake in my mind as the greatest to ever do it, because he was able to tell you what was happening, describe exactly what was happening, paint that picture for you with what was happening, but yet also it was like a brand new chapter of a book every time he got behind the microphone. He was an incredible force behind that play-by-play microphone for the Dodgers for so many years.
You think Dodgers, and you can throw a lot of names out there, and he's at the top of the list. As you know, obviously there's all the players that have come through that organization, but you say Dodgers, Vin Scully is immediately jumps up, you know, in your mind. I mean, there are people who wear Vin Scully jerseys to Dodgers games to this day. You know, I mean, what radio broadcaster, what broadcaster can say that's ever about them? You know what I mean?
Very, very few.
Very, yeah. And he was one of the most famous and one of the best. And he'll be missed. But, man, what a career. What a life. That's awesome to be a part of something like that for that long.
Yeah, I mean, there was the story of Madison Bumgarner that he told with the rattlesnake. There was Johnny Gomes fighting off, I can't remember what it was, in spring training. Here was some kind of the more iconic ones. And then in true Vin Scully fashion, you hear his final call and how just kind of matter of fact it was. So yeah. Here's a couple of minutes of some of the greatest of Vin Scully.
Talking about six, Don Landry is 6 yards away from his sixth Super Bowl. And, of course, for the upstart 49ers, they're 6 yards away from Pontiac. Third and three.
The right side, possibly.
Montana. Looking, throwing in the end zone. Clark caught it! Dwight Clark!
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting, the outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone!
Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free and all of a sudden there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway, 0-2.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone.
No runs, one hit for the Dodgers, who managed to leave four men on base because they were the only four they got on base. The Giants in the Western Division are 45-31. The Dodgers are 43-33. So inside the division, they certainly were the better team. That was awfully nice. The umpire just stood up and said goodbye. as I am saying goodbye. 7 runs, 16 hits for the winning Giants, 1-4, 1-4 the Dodgers. The winner, Matt Moore, the loser, Kenta Maeda. I have said enough for a lifetime, and for the last time, I wish you all a very pleasant good afternoon.
Just a few of the examples of the greatness of Vince Scully. I think that's something that people forget because he is so recognizable as the voice of the Dodgers. You forget how versatile he was. That very first clip, that was Dwight Clark, the catch against the Cowboys back in the 1981 NFC title game. There's all kinds of golf moments that Vince Scully was a part of. In different capacities and major championships, the NFL, Major League Baseball, obviously. It was just an amazing, amazing career that he was able to forge. And you just don't, when somebody is so great at one thing, obviously he was at baseball. it's hard for a lot of people to hear him doing other things, right?
Right.
But he had that ability to stretch all across the sporting landscape for all those years.
Yeah. I always forget the other sports. We always talk about the baseball and stuff. But, yeah, and my favorite thing, and it's funny. I need to show you this. Somebody sent me a thing, the difference between basketball broadcasters and baseball broadcasters. Now, what do we do, Aaron? We do it all. Football, basketball, baseball, softball, even done golf. And what was my favorite thing, and you mentioned his storytelling during his baseball broadcast, the way he was able to still keep you engaged in the game but also keep you interested in something else, whether it be his opinion on something, which we kind of heard right there, or a really cool story. I saw a thing on Twitter this morning from his last broadcast talking about where he fell in love with baseball and how it kind of came full circle with his last broadcast. It was really cool, and it kept me interested the entire time, and then I still found myself watching the at bat and what's going to happen. So he had that magical way of doing that, which is very hard to do. And people look at broadcasters and think it what we do and what stuff like Vince Scully does and all the others, Troy Aikman and all of them, and think it's just an easy job, and it's not. And people think what he done, baseball's a slow sport, and that has been the easiest job in the world. I guarantee you it's not. There's a lot of research and stuff behind it, and he's still able to make it look as easy as possible. I think that's the overlooked thing, was how easy he made his job look and how good he was at it.
And you mentioned baseball and being slower. He didn't have anybody coloring.
Right. Right.
And so the amount of research and the amount of prep that he had to have done on a daily basis to get ready for those. And think of this, that very last clip was in like 2016. The dude was 88, 89 years old.
Yeah, you wouldn't have known.
And it didn't sound like it.
No.
Guys start slipping a lot of times in their 60s. And this guy was 88 years old and still felt like he had his fastball, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just an awesome, awesome career for him. Now, if he was, and most people would agree, the best one going, the best one living, who is that now?
Ooh, that's a great question. That's very much up for debate, because you got your local guys – like Vince Scully was, but he was known on a national brand. Helps that he was in such a large market with a tradition-rich program, franchise. Man, I don't know. I mean, I'd have to think about it. You go, come back to me. Who do you
For me, it's easy, Al Michaels.
Okay, that's exactly where I was going to go.
Yeah, for me, it's Al Michaels. He's another guy that's in his 70s, mid-70s or so, that doesn't seem to have lost much.
Yeah.
He's also been a guy that's been way versatile all across the – he doesn't have that one thing to kind of hang his hat on as far as, the longevity of it like Vin does with the Dodgers. But he's been kind of more – more in the national spotlight his entire career. I mean, you think back to obviously the miracle on ice was with the 42 years ago with him is the you know probably the first thing that would leap into people's minds about him. You know, honestly, one of the things I remember about him as much as anything wasn't even him working.
What's that?
It was him getting a phone call on June 17th, 1994, during the White Bronco chase, and him on the air talking about his friend OJ to his friend. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
He was one of the people they called, and he kind of said, you know, he was maybe the first of OJ's close friends and what have you that, as it was happening, kind of saying, "Gosh, I never thought he would never once cross my mind that you know he was guilty." But boy, when you see him doing this, that's got to be where your mind goes. So just the honesty, you know what I'm saying? The honesty of it. But no, he is fantastic. You know, I think he may be like kind of the overall voice. And then you start separating into, okay, this guy is kind of the voice of college football, or this guy is kind of the voice of the NFL or the NBA. You know what I'm saying? You know, but he kind of goes across everything sort of like Vin did.
In another guy in that vein that goes across kind of different sports, Jim Nantz.
That's right.
He's very good at kind of taking control of a broadcast and making you feel, I mean, you know, the way he opens the Masters, you know, his coverage of March Madness, his help of, you know, stuff like that. He's like that, he has that calming way about him in his broadcast, but still can be very exciting when it's needed and very respectful too. So he's a guy that's been around for a while that I kind of think of across multiple sports, multiple platforms. That's a guy.
Yeah. Especially that couple of weeks in March and April, you know, where he really gets shot to the forefront with, you know, the Final Four and then the Masters on the heels of it every single year like that. Yeah. That's a good one. I mean, who do you think of when you think of college football right now? If you had to say, okay, who's the voice of college football?
Well, that's
who
easy.
Would you think of?
That's easy. It's Kurt Herbstreit.
Yeah, and he's not,
more of a color guy.
Yeah, he's
it.
Obviously the analyst,
yeah,
though.
He's the analyst. But he's the, you know, forefront. I think Chris Fowler, they're fun together. But that gets into the debate: are they better? Are they really good? Is Chris Fowler really good when he's with Herbstreit? You know, on a Saturday night game of the week situation, or you know, if you took Kirk away, you see what I'm saying? But college football.
Yeah, I could take or leave Fowler as far as the play-by-play guy. I mean, forever, obviously, it was Keith Jackson.
Keith, yeah.
And, you know, Musburger.
Musburger
is another guy
that
has been
really,
there. He's
yeah.
not really in the forefront anymore, though.
He calls Oakland radio.
Yeah. And
or now Vegas,
maybe,
I guess.
Maybe some SEC network. Is he on the SEC network, maybe? And then maybe that's where he went. And then
who took over for Vern Lundquist?
It's Brad Nessler, isn't it?
Is it Nessler?
See, to me, that's the guy.
Brad is good. Brad Nessler is good. Yeah.
That's the guy to me. Speaking of all of this.
He was so good. No, Vern Lundquist, he was good. Okay. I mean, really good. He was the voice of the SEC football for years. And when he moved on and they replaced him with Brad Nessler, for a first like 2 or 3 weeks, it made you forget Vern Lundquist was gone. See what mm-hmm. It's like Brad's been there forever. That's how I felt.
No, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he's really good.
That's probably for me, he's as far as the play-by-play guy, he would be the guy. You know, Vern, think about him. He's going to always be – his voice is going to live forever because of one thing, one play. And that's, you know, being able to match the moment and not ruining it is a skill that these guys at the top of the game have, and that's the kick six.
Kick six, that's
He's
exactly
He's always going to be remembered in college football because of that play. Always. And those moments like that only come along every so often. And to be able to capture it exactly right. Think about this. Think about what Vern Lundquist has to his credit. He's got the kick six. He's got the Tiger chip in 2005 at the Masters on 16 where the ball hung on the lip and fell in. And oh, by the way, maybe his most famous call, he's got Jack on 17 in 1986 at the Masters. Yes, sir, as he takes the lead, as the Golden Bear roars to the lead with, you know, in that crazy comeback at Augusta in 86. Vern Lundquist is, as far as just some, you know, picking out calls, he's got some monumental calls to his credit. I mentioned, another kind of, it's not as sad as Vin Scully dying, but longtime voice of Alabama football. Have you ever listened to Alabama on the radio? I do it all the time.
Do you?
Yes, I really do. I had that app. What's it called? Tune In.
Yeah.
App.
You can find a lot of
all across the country.
Right.
So if you're traveling or whatever, you're wondering what's going on, you can pull up the local broadcast on a lot of these people. The voice of Alabama football since 1998 has been Eli Gold. And you've heard his voice. I promise you, you've heard it. He will be sidelined this season due to health issues.
Oh, darn.
So the Crimson Tide will have a different voice, at least for the 2022 season. Chris Stewart will be the man that fills in for Eli Gold this year doing that Alabama football.
What about NBA broadcasters?
The guy with pink eye that does the Olympics. That's on our text line.
What?
The guy with pink eye that does the Olympics. Talking about Bob Costas? Bob Costas is a legend.
Bob Costas.
NBA, you know, forever, it's kind of a little bit like you with college football. It was Hubie Brown, even though he was the color guy.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, I think the voices of the NBA don't have anything to do with the games. They're not calling the games. They're on TNT after the thing is over.
So no love for Marv Albert?
Yeah, Marv's fine.
Kevin Harlan?
I love Kevin Harlan.
You hear his voice, you know you're watching an NBA game.
I love Kevin Harlan. Matter of fact, speaking of Kevin Harlan, I've still got this. Where is that at?
You hear his voice, hear Marv Albert's voice, you know you're watching NBA and only NBA. And it's going to be a big NBA game.
Now, but here is Kevin Harlan's possibly one of the greatest moments ever in broadcasting.
Down 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
You know, he's got that one. He's got the other one where he's calling the Chiefs game. It's like simultaneously one game is ending.
Yeah.
Like right at the end of the regular season. Like the Patriots get beat, the Chiefs kick a field goal, as they're both things are happening almost simultaneously, and the Chiefs are the one seed, win home field advantage. There's that one from Kevin Harlan as well. No love for Jeff Van Gundy and Bill Walton on the text line. Bill Walton's a hard listen, man.
I can't do it.
It's hard for me to follow him. What are your feelings? I know this guy is. Not, I don't know if controversial is the right thing, but it seems like he's either you love him or you hate him in college football, and that's Gus Johnson.
I like him because he's a perfect broadcaster for college football. I know he does some NFL on Sundays at times, but I think he's perfect for college football because it's something I've always mentioned is the pageantry and passion that fans have for college football. You get him on one of those big games, you know, he most notably the ones I remember are the crazy Bedlam game from
2017.
Yeah.
There could not have been a better person on that
Hollywood
call.
Yeah.
That's when he named him Hollywood.
And the way, and then people say he's over the top, but I mean, what are we doing in this fan in the stands as fans? We are going crazy over the top, and we were probably doing that at home watching that particular game. Now maybe if we're watching a game that we really don't have any interest in and we're just, but other people do. And it makes me feel like when I'm watching that I'm watching a passionate college football game. So I think it's a perfect fit when he brings that passion to his broadcast.
Yeah, I mean, I get some people upset with him screaming in the first quarter at a touchdown. I think that gets overblown a little bit. I don't know that he really does that as much as people claim he does. But Gus Johnson is perfect for two things: college football and the NCAA tournament.
Yeah.
Perfect for those two things. You know, those down-to-the-wire, buzzer-beater, just lose-your-mind moments as fans. He's doing the same thing on the broadcast. It's fantastic to me. But if you're a little bit more stodgy, a little bit more old school, you probably don't like it. Here's one on the text line. What do you think about Dvorak?
I think he does a good job, but I think he's a kind of – I know he's really early in his career, but I think he's more of a carbon copy of what other guys have been doing. And so he's kind of watching what has worked for other guys. He's well spoken. He knows his stuff. He does his homework. But he's not doing anything for me to say stand out from other guys. Does that make sense? He just seems like, all right, he's a good broadcaster. He's a former player from Oklahoma. He has a lot of cachet behind him and a lot of cred. I just think he's kind of a carbon copy of other guys we've seen like that before. Can he do something? I mean, there might be a game or might be a time where suddenly he's, you know, and here's the deal. Kirk Herbstreit's probably the same way when he started. And Kirk Herbstreit has come along in the college football broadcasting world. I think that's the thing about Dusty Dvorak.
I think he's very prepared. Very prepared. And that comes through. For sure. And it takes time to kind of round in there. Got a bit. Brent Musburger had a bias for OU, and I'm a Cowboy. You know, the thing about Brent, which is kind of sad that he's not in the limelight anymore, is it felt like Brent was gambling on the games he was calling, and that you could kind of sense and detect which side he liked going into the games. I hate that now that gambling's becoming a little bit more prevalent in what we're doing, you know, with the lines. I mean, it's on everything now, in the different things.
Yeah,
I kind of wish Brent was a little bit more involved. That way, he could actually just flat out tell you, "Hey, I took the Sooners and laid the 7 here, and here's why." You know, I mean, I could almost hear him saying that or whatever it is. Dick Enberg, my gosh, that's from way back.
Yeah,
way back. All right, let's take a break.
We could go on.
Questions
we,
fired.
Talking broadcast. We'll go back. We could go on and on.
Because here is the name. We just got to ask about a guy that may be the most polarizing guy in all of the business.
Yep.
Well, bots on Joe Buck. It's turned into a broadcast opinion show after the death of Vince Scully. Yesterday. Hey, Elk City Schools and Project Aware are sponsoring a workshop for parents. It's entitled Preparing Children for Success in School and Life, 20 Ways to Increase Your Child's Brain Power. It's going to be put on by Dr. Marcia Tate on Tuesday evening, August 9th, so a week from yesterday, 6 to 7:30 at the Pioneer Center. Admission is free, child care is provided, and the first 50 attendees will receive Dr. Tate's book for free. That's Elk City Schools and Project Aware, Preparing Children for Success in School and Life, 20 Ways to Increase Your Child's Brain Power, Dr. Marcia Tate, next Tuesday, August the 9th, from 6 to 7:30, right here in Elk City at the Pioneer Center. All right, so we're kind of just going through guys that we like, guys that we dislike, guys as far as the broadcasting goes, and this one question on the text line, and this is one that feels like he is the most polarizing figure in all of sports broadcasting, and that man is Joe Buck. Why do you think people that hate Joe Buck like they do?
Maybe they didn't like his dad. and it just kind of trickled on down. I've never had a problem with Joe Buck. I love the NFL Game of the Weeks and hearing him with Troy. I have no problem with that. I think he's good on baseball too, but maybe it's because a lot of people didn't like Jack Buck either. So maybe it was just a trickle-down effect. I don't know. I don't get it. I've never heard anything wrong with this broadcast.
I feel like it's because Jack Buck's his dad.
There you go.
And he got to start on third base, and he thinks he hit a triple because of how the legendary Jack Buck. I think Joe Buck is fantastic at baseball.
Yeah.
Football, eh. You know, you go back and watch the. I'm almost positive they were the call on the helmet catch. And maybe that was one of those things where no one realized exactly what happened. You know,
yeah.
It was hard to fathom in the moment what happened. The way that David Tyree made that catch, and there wasn't, you know, a ton of time. I think he's a, you know, that's one that always gets criticized, and I think it's just more of a, you know, and he's starting to kind of the cool thing is over the years he's embraced the criticisms of him. And we'll almost even make mention of it as he's doing. You know what I'm saying? I like people that are able to kind of make fun of themselves a little bit and go with the flow. Another one, Howard Cosell. Man, you know, the older you are, I think the more that Howard Cosell is in your mind, right? I mean, guys like us, he was still around.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was still around, but not necessarily right there at the forefront. But, boy, if you go back throughout the 70s, anything that there was, he's going to be a lot of times involved in. You know, obviously starting with Monday Night Football when it cranked up back in the 70s. No doubt about, Howard Cosell. And, you know, he was polarizing too. He didn't mind kind of ruffling the feathers of people. A little bit Johnny Miller-ish. You know, with Johnny on the broadcast of the U.S. Open, didn't mind. Now, here is the name. And I think we talked about this guy a little bit when his longtime partner passed. But Pat Summerall and John Madden.
Yeah. You talk about growing up.
It's hard to, you know, those guys, those legendary teams like that. You know, Buck and Aikman are that way right now. But it's hard to talk about one without the other. With Pat Summerall and John Madden, and just the difference between the two, it was almost like opposites attracted, right? It was just a perfect mix of kind of laid back, just smooth voiced Pat Summerall with the energy of John Madden and the poom 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 poom, you know, all that.
Yeah,
it was just a really really great pairing with those two, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I Harry Carey, that's a good one. John Brooks. Yep. Analyst side, Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah, that's
like him?
I do, more than a lot of people. You know, Romo has fans and not fans. I'm one. I love when those guys can tell you what's going to happen. To me, that's the whole point of it. And being the analyst is to go, you know, when they see a formation and they go, okay, watch out for this.
Right.
And it happens.
Typically, you see it after a play. Like, they'll go back and go, yeah, I saw that line up there.
Yeah,
I expected this. I love seeing it before, like what Tony Romo's
anybody can say that.
Yeah.
Anybody can go, oh, yeah, I saw the tight end off the line a little bit. I knew. He does it before.
Right.
He goes, oh, Jim, watch for the sweep right or whatever it is. See, that's when you know he really does know. He has so much more credibility in my mind than some guy watching it happen. They go, "Oh yeah, that could have. I knew that was going to happen." Well, if you knew it, say it.
Right.
You know, that's the part. You know, I'll never forget just here locally. You know, when we had Hunt with us.
Yeah.
And that to me that was awesome because he was a football coach. You know, and there was a couple times where he, early on. Something happened, and, you know, we'd go to a break, and he's like, man, I knew they were going to run. I said, say it. Say it. And then sure enough, you know, he kind of in his own way, like, I think J-Mac's probably thinking about the little pop pass over the middle of the tight end. Then, boom, it happens. And then that's then as the play-by-play guy, then it's able to, especially now with us having the video, the streaming, be able to go back with the replay and go, why did you think that? And then he can describe that to the people listening. And in a lot of ways, then the next time you see it, you almost even kind of think, okay, is it this? And then when it's not, but the other play comes off of that working, then this is open because they're thinking, that, you know what I'm saying? It just it dives you way more into the game. What about Dick Vitale? That's a question on the text line. What are your thoughts on Dickie V?
Well, when I mention what goodness gracious, my mind's gone blank. Gus
Johnson.
Johnson brings to college football. Dick Vitale brought that to college basketball decades ago. And his excitement, and you could hear his love for college basketball in his broadcast. So I think he's great at, you know, in his prime. I think, you know, it's slipping a little bit, but that almost cartoonish character that he brings to a broadcast along with that passion, it's a lot of fun. And I get it, a lot of it is entertainment, but he knows the game very well. I've had no problem with him. I know people who just can't stand him from a professional standpoint, from a professional view. That guy, they just don't like the way he just exudes his excitement. They deem it unprofessional. But I think in the context of what it is, and again, it goes back to that college rowdiness, I'm okay with it. I think he's great.
He came along, a couple of guys came along at the exact right time in the exact right place to make what we now know is normal wasn't back then. Dick Vitale is one of them. When ESPN was trying to get off the ground, get going, that shtick that he had for college basketball became just as much a part of the fabric of that game as anything else. And there's certain guys, when they show up, you know, it's big. You know, it feels like to us, you know, our buddy Leland, when he shows up to referee a ball game, it's a big game, especially football. You know, doesn't it feel like that? You know, this is a big district game. Leland and the boys are here.
Yeah.
Dick Vitale was like that, and it was a huge part of why ESPN and college basketball really took off when it did in the 80s. Great play, great players, but also him, he was a big part of that. And another guy right up there in ESPN, you know, and these two guys, neither one of them I would say were broadcast professionals. I mean, as far as like their skill, I don't know if it was nearly as high as some of these other guys we've talked about, but the way that they were able, you know, they had their thing. And the other one is clearly Chris Berman. Chris Berman and his ability to nickname people made some show called SportsCenter a thing. And then it allowed for the other guys after him to carry it even to a completely higher level. But he was the perfect guy for that. The perfect guy for the what was the Sunday wrap-up show?
Yeah.
Primetime. NFL Primetime. He was a perfect guy for that. He didn't have nearly the broadcasting chops as a guy like Vin Scully or Al Michaels or Summerall, any of those guys.
Right.
But he did have his thing, and he was really, really good at his thing. And his thing was being in the studio and doing SportsCenter and doing that primetime show, or even the early preview show, you know, the pregame show. Now, for me, once he got in, you know, started trying to do golf and that kind of thing, it's like, yeah. Boomer. Well, let's get Boomer out of here.
ESPN didn't know what to do with him.
That's right. Because they didn't have him. They had nowhere to put him on broadcasts.
Right.
Because he didn't. He wasn't going to do the play-by-play. Right. You know, and the color, I think it would have kind of run people off a little bit. Because as over the top as Dick Vitale was or could be, it wasn't a constant with Berman, I'm afraid it would have been just a constant of back, you know, enough. Yeah. It's a fly out to mid-center field, you know.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think, yeah, they had a hard time placing him there. Once he kind of moved on from the Sports Center game, in you know, kind of, I think that's, you're exactly right. Yeah, Costas, great storyteller. No doubt about it.
Yeah.
Man, who'd have ever thought? We did 50 minutes on broadcasters.
Well, I got the text line going, so.
Yeah, it did.
But, yeah, it's a part of the game you don't realize, I don't say miss, but you just take it for granted when you have a broadcaster on a game. I might be tooting our own horn here. But imagine a game, you're watching it without broadcasters, without good broadcasters, and you'd miss it. You'd notice the difference.
It can make it better.
Or it can make it worse.
It can make it worse.
Yes.
There's no doubt about that.
Yes.
Each of those is possible.
We all have those broadcasters we go, I'm going to mute this TV. Right? There's always one of those or a couple of them.
You want to name names? Like who? Who would make you just go, oh, gosh, not him.
Or her. No, I'm not. Hey, this is fair share here. Come on.
This
is 2022.
Sam, who is it?
What's the woman's name on ESPN? It seems like she's on every 11 o'clock Big Ten game.
Oh, yeah. It's Pam Ward.
I don't know what it is. I can't listen to her. Either I turn it or turn or mute her. Sorry. My opinions are my own. Please don't call the station. And I just can't. It's not a woman thing. It's just I don't like her style. But I can't think of it. I think it is Pam Ward.
I think it's Pam Ward.
Yeah. Let me put it this way. She's done softball. Okay? I know she has, especially the Women's College World Series.
Yeah.
Okay. Some people's style fits a sport as opposed to another sport. Her style does not fit college football. It fits really well with the softball. I have no problem listening to her then. But something about the way she called, just the way, and it's not a woman thing. Like I can't stress that enough. It's the style thing, and that her style for college football is I can't take it.
Yeah, this is exactly Holly Rowe. Holly Rowe is awesome.
Yeah, she's great.
Uh oh, already getting calls.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. getting calls about me, but the other guy you want us to talk about, you never get a call about him.
Listen, I mean we've got to mention Sean Wilson. I mean, no, I'm dead serious. Listen, people don't realize how much effort he put into that, not only the games, but also something that what was the show on Saturday?
Absolutely. The Coach's Corner?
Coach's Corner.
Yeah.
At the Flaming O.
Yeah, I remember.
Most of us
kid,
thought it was the Flamingo, but it was the Flaming O.
I remember as a kid tuning into that.
I can't remember how many straight Saturdays he said.
Oh, man.
It was hundreds. Hundreds and hundreds of Saturdays
in
a row.
That is dedication.
Were you ever on there?
Oh, no.
You didn't get to be on the Coach's Corner?
I don't recall a lot of Clinton guys over on the Coach's Corner.
Yeah. Didn't see Chuck up on Saturday doing that for you or whoever was over there. Sean was.
Yeah.
Odd Dakota got interviewed at the hotel every Saturday after football games.
Very good. Congratulations.
Is that a humble brag by Dakota?
I think it very much is. Every Saturday, Dakota. I kind of find that hard to believe.
In his defense, I think Dakota was on the last Sayre football team that had a winning record.
Wow. Wow. That's worth getting interviewed every Saturday.
Clarification on the text line. Dakota did, in fact, not go get interviewed every Saturday. Coach Brewer did. Took different seniors, and he was one of them.
Okay.
I went to the Flaming O one time.
Did you?
For golf.
just to be clear, he did that. He didn't do that during football season. He did that
all year.
Year round. Did he take summers off at least?
Summers off.
Okay.
I don't think he picked somebody up from Burson Field on a Friday night and had him down there Saturday.
Yeah. Yeah, he did.
It was a long time. 700 and something.
We need to be very careful talking about that because suddenly someone's going to say,
Hey, Aaron. Nope. It's that, you know, sometimes there's seasons in life for certain things, and the season in life for that was then. We didn't even get to the Dolphins. Dolphins in hot water.
See, this flew under my radar because of the whole Watson stuff. I guess I just wasn't really paying attention.
Interestingly enough, that they've kind of buried this with that talk, honestly. Yeah. And I think there's a reason why. Because you remember the story blowing up when Brian Flores got fired?
Yeah, that,
The head coach of the Dolphins, and he accused the owner, Stephen Ross, of offering him $100,000 a year, or a loss in that season, in his first season, to tank.
That's what he accused.
That's what he accused when he got fired.
Right.
Amongst some other things. Amongst some discrimination things. The good news for the Dolphins is none of that is true. None of that has any evidentiary... Any evidence to say it's true.
Not holding water.
It's not holding water. So now it just looks like a jilted lover got fired. And, you know, he's mad about losing his job. And because of that, then some of the... I mean, I think your mind just... When it's not tanking, then the other accusations, I think it's easier to not believe they hold water as well. Does that make sense? You know, oh, if he's lying about this, he's making this up. Is he doing that too? But they were hammered because they were found in violation of the tampering rules. Both owner Stephen Ross and Bruce Beal, the kind of the co-owner, vice president, they each called a man named Tom Brady on different occasions. Once when he was still up in New England, and once when he was has been down in Tampa. Like at the end of season, like in December, into the playoffs, you know, hey, what are you going to do next year? Why don't you be on our side? So they lose a first rounder and a third rounder. And, oh, by the way, they also called the agent of Sean Payton while he was still under contract as the head coach of the New Orleans Saints. We're going to dig into this a lot more tomorrow because that part, it's one thing to call it's one thing to call Tom Brady.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is craziness.
Could Tom Brady not be in some hot water for not reporting this? Or I know we got a lot to uncover with that, or to talk about with that.
Well, I mean, they gave
him. See what I'm saying?
They gave him two games less than a serial sexual assault person for deflating football. So if I was Tom Brady, I'd be worried about my career being over. I don't know. The tamperee instead of the tamperer getting in trouble.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But it's like, hey, you should have told us that this was going on. We had to go find it out for ourselves. When
sure.
We knew the whole time.
And that's where my question is this. Sure, hammer them. You know, $1.5 million fine for Ross, $500,000 for Beal, plus the draft picks lost a first rounder this year, a third rounder next year for the tampering. And that's all well and good, but how often does this, especially the calling of the agent, really? Are we really supposed to believe that this is some sort of isolated incident? And maybe the problem was it was the owner and the vice president. Instead of, you know, there's better ways to do it, I guess, Miami. You've got peons to do this kind of thing, not the owner to do this kind of thing. And maybe that's the example that they're trying to set. But we can get into that a whole bunch more. And we didn't get to watch on Jared's mind. You want to give us a little preview, or will something else be on your mind tomorrow?
It changes from day to day, hour to hour. So tune in to find out.
What's on it currently right this second?
Currently, right this second, is college football.
Are you sure you weren't sitting there going, man, I can't believe I missed out on eggs, bacon, and pancakes at the Flaming O?
No, that's not it. No, right now, it's like on everyone's mind, because here we are in August, college football. And I'm just wondering, you know, when are we going to do like maybe a college football preview?
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there.
I've already filled out and picked wins and losses for every Big 12 team.
Have you really?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to – okay, this is great.
And I got my standings set. I got my conference champions picked. I got my college football playoff participants picked. I even got my title game participants and winner. So I got a little preview already ready to go.
I'm going to wait a little bit for all that to see if anybody gets hurt during fall camp since they all just opened.
Speaking of hurt, James Washington out. Who else is Dak going to throw to besides C.D. Lamb?
Yeah, because Gallup isn't going to be back for the first few weeks either.
You know who's on the market right now?
Terrell Owens.
Cole Beasley.
Oh, Cole Beasley would look good back in the star.
I think so.
Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Wow.